We are apt to shut our eyes against painful truth. For my part, I am willing to know the whole truth, to know the worst, and to provide for it. And this week's opening quote comes from Patrick Henry. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. Well, folks, here I am back on the air a lot sooner than I had anticipated. I had intended to have a bit more time off than this and to recuperate, and I've got a lot of stuff I've got to do. But I felt that it was important to come back and have a talk to you for the moment simply because of the global situation at the moment. My God, things have really ramped up in the last couple of months, as I'm sure everybody can see. This timing is impeccable, isn't it? You've got to have some time off, and suddenly the global situation escalates into this nightmare that is unfolding in the world today, and it just provides the necessity to actually come on and say a few words about it because things have really, really gotten out of control, and it's what we expected. We've seen this coming for a long time. Myself and many others have been warning people that this is the direction that we're heading in. We are heading for a global lockdown, and it's been virtually ushered in already by the Paris attacks. Of course, we're going to see more attacks, folks. They're going to ramp it up. They've already had big fear-mongering campaigns in England. They've just had incredibly staged shooting in San Bernardino in the United States. I mean, this is so staged, folks. And even in Paris, I mean, it's hard to tell whether people even die at any of these events anymore, folks. I think most of them are just completely staged, and they don't even really need to have real terror attacks. All they've got to do is have a drill, shoot a few bullets around, throw a few dummies around the floor, and get the news media in there, and the media will spin it any way they want, and of course the people will just buy into it. But even if the people don't buy into it, it doesn't matter. The media will still spin it, and the government will still introduce whatever legislation it feels like introducing. That's the thing, folks. We don't even need real terror attacks. All we need is a perceived terror threat, and the government will just do what it likes. They don't even have to kill people. They can just wag the dog to the extreme, and the people will buy into it because the media said it happened, and they heard all the shooting. But, folks, there's drills at every single one of these events. Every single one of these shooting attacks, there is a drill at every single one. I mean, it's beyond a joke. It really is. I mean, you can't get a major terrorist attack these days without there being a drill coinciding with it, it seems. And does that say anything to anybody? Is anybody out there starting to see a pattern with these events? Because it should be obvious to everybody, folks, that all of these things are being set up to bring about a certain agenda, and that agenda is a global lockdown. And that's where we're heading, and that's why I felt I should come on and have a bit of a chat about it. We are really facing some difficult times ahead, folks, if people do not stand up and start calling this out. Now, for a long time, when I've been looking at this system and I've been talking about it to you and I've been searching for remedies of a way to get out of this mess that we find ourselves in, I've been searching down every path I could find, folks, for the last 8 years since I've been doing this show, anything I can think of to empower people. You know, I got to the point where I began to realize that even though the system's fiction, a way to wake up the sleeping sheeple is to use elements of the system against itself. And that definitely would have worked. Things like calling out Gaza Strip and calling out the war crime of Gaza for what it is, and it still could work now to rein in this criminal cabal if we could rally enough public support to do it. Hopefully the flailing support for this so-called war on terror may help that happen. I mean, people are getting pretty upset about things in the suburbs and all around the world. I mean, the protests we've seen in England and everywhere, there's a lot of people that are very, very upset about the way the war is escalating. And that methodology of calling out the war crime and reining in the criminal cabal that has basically taken over all global governments would well have worked for quite a while, and it still could work in countries such as England and the United States and even here in Australia. In Europe, maybe not so much anymore because of the refugee situation that has unfolded in Europe, so that's kind of changed the playing field there, but this legal remedy still could work for us if we could rally the population to do it, but we're fast running out of time. it's really getting to a point now with all these attacks that are being staged around the place that the lockdown is coming if the people do not rise to the occasion. And that's really what it's going to take now is the dissemination of information. People have to start spreading awareness, sharing information. It's getting very difficult to do that on platforms such as Facebook. You'll notice that people are being cordoned off now. A lot of social media is being cordoned off. Twitter, new laws coming in all of our countries, or suggestions that they should bring in laws anyway. But there's talk in all political circles, Western political circles, of the evil of anti-government extremism. And this is a new term that is being coined, is anti-government extremism. Anybody who questions the actions of government must be an extremist. So how is this anything to do with democracy or freedom or liberty or anything? I mean, this is an open declaration of fascism, really, folks. This is an open declaration of dictatorship. It's basically the government saying, if you criticize anything we do, you're a terrorist, and the police have permission to shoot terrorists. And that's kind of the way they're playing it, and this is happening in all Western countries, and this is really taking things to another level. So it's time people really did start paying attention to what is going on around them. And it's just ramping up more and more, really, as the days go on. So what's needed now is some coordinated action, folks. That's what's needed, coordinated action, but it's got to be sensible action. You know, we can't be out there marching and protesting and all this sort of stuff. We just saw in Paris what happens when people march and protest. Now, there was a group of very peaceful and very passive people. I think they may have been protesting the climate summit or something. It was on November 29th in Paris. And the police were unbelievable. The police were so violent. And just walking up to innocent people and just whacking them across the head with batons for no reason, whacking old men across the knees with batons for no reason, just there to instigate violence, escalate the conflict, turn it into a riot, and just brutalize the people. So there's no point protesting and marching, folks. Marches show solidarity, but they don't actually achieve anything. We need to have some sort of coordinated action to stop the system in its tracks. And really, the best coordinated action we can have now that our legal system is failing us so badly is simple non-compliance. We need a show of solidarity in the community. The community needs to stand together in solidarity and simply stop complying with the system, stop paying taxes. It'd be great if everybody stayed home for a day. Imagine if the whole world just didn't comply for one day, if everybody refused to spend 1 cent or go to work or lift a finger, do anything for the system for one day. If we did that, it would bring the entire global system to its knees, folks. We could do it in a single day by one day of non-compliance. I've been saying this since 2008, since I put out a film called Fight the New World Order with global non-compliance. We could do it if we simply stopped participating in the system, folks. That would be the key. You imagine the shockwave it would send around the world if not 1 cent was spent in the Western world in one day, if everybody refused to go and fill up their car or go to work or go and buy bread or anything like that. Just do your shopping the day before and stay home for a day. Everybody, the whole world, take a day off. It would bring the system to its knees, folks. And that's what we need. We need some sort of coordinated response to this system. And we've got to start spreading information, but we've got to really begin to take action to rein what is unfolding back under control. Otherwise, we're going to be heading into a really, really dark area. And it's been a trap, folks. The whole thing has been a trap. You know, when I look at this and I look back at the last 10 years, 15 years, it's been such a play. It's been such a trap for all the people. And even the truth movement, so-called truth movement, has been a trap for people. It really has. I've sat back and watched it, and I've just seen how orchestrated and played people have been through the whole thing. We've had some really great chances for unity, but of course there's always agents that come along to disrupt any such movements. And everybody's been played off against each other. Everybody's been provided with an endless succession of rabbit holes to run down. everybody's found little pieces of the puzzle and have very often then been locked into a little bubble of what I've often termed sovereign narcissism, and nobody has really looked at the bigger picture, you know, or maybe a few have, but a lot of others haven't. A lot of others have gone down their own little rabbit hole, and all they've really succeeded in doing is creating division amongst the movement. But really, there's been a higher play going on as well. I mean, we had a real chance to create some unity in the truth movement, the alternate media, the independent version of what's going on, the real version of what's going on, whatever you want to call it. We have had every opportunity to create unity in this movement. As I've often been saying, as I've said for 8 years now, all we need to do is put down our stuff with each other and respect each other, and we could stand as one united voice, and we could call this system out for what it is before it has a chance to consolidate its power. But that power is now being consolidated, and we have very little time left to do such a thing. And in many ways, the independent media and the so-called truth movement has been played. Inasmuch as we've been given everything that we need to see how corrupt the world is, and in doing so, we've also all put ourselves out there so that the government now knows where everybody who knows what's going on is. The government now has tabs on everybody. You know, people ask why they make things so obvious. Why did they make 9/11 so obvious? And why are the false flags that have continued since 9/11 been so obvious? Why do they make things so easy to see through? And why doesn't the media ever see this? And why doesn't the media ever report the truth? Why don't the reporters ask the hard questions? These are the things that people have been asking. And I think there's a reason that they make things so obviously staged. And I think that that reason is to just see who gets it, see who wakes up, to see who they can identify as a potential dissident, someone who is simply not going to go along with what the government wants to do. There's someone on who the fluoride and food additives and the vaccines may not be working, if you will. And the tighter the control grid has been locked down, the more powers the police have been given, and the more police presence we've seen, the more obvious the false flags have become. So it's becoming easier for even normal everyday people who don't have a conspiratorial outlook to the world to be able to see through these things. So again, they're seeing who are the dissidents, who is prepared to stand up against government. Let's make it as obvious as we can so everybody starts calling it out, and then we can identify these pockets of society which do not go along with the government line. And look, when you look at some of these so-called terror attacks, there are obviously crisis actors involved in a lot of them. You get these families on television that are smiling while they're talking about their loved one who was brutally murdered the day before. You know, none of this is normal behavior, and it begs the question, are these normal people? You know, where do these people come from, all of these crisis actors? And when you look at these conspiracies, a lot of people will say, you know, if all of this is really going on and all of these things are being staged and 9/11 was staged and the war on terror is a hoax and all of this stuff, there would quite literally need to be thousands upon thousands of people involved in the conspiracy. And that's where it falls down for a lot of people. And the truth of the matter, folks, is that there are thousands and thousands of people involved, not directly involved. There are certain groups who are directly involved in carrying out these events, but there are certain sections of society, in fact, quite large sections of society, that will never speak the truth about these events and that actually enjoy these events. They like to see things like 9/11 happen. They like to see the wars happen. They like to see the police state get locked down around the world because they are involved indirectly because of the things that they do in their private lives. You know, we look at the world and we often wonder why people don't speak out, why people just let things go on the way they are. And that is the reason, folks. That is the reason, because in our society, I mean, our society is a complex thing, but when you look at it, if you can imagine it, we actually have two societies running parallel to each other that both live amongst each other. We have the society on the surface of normal people who do normal things. They go to work, they go out dancing, they do the stuff that normal people do. But there is another group of people within this society which have a very dark agenda, who are spread out amongst the whole society. They're living in suburbs, sometimes whole suburbs, sometimes whole towns, whole schools. A great many people that are involved in what is essentially a shadow society that gets up to very nefarious practices in the background. Many of these people are not directly involved with things such as the 9/11 attack. As I said, many of these people are not involved in government, but many of them get up to very bad things. And what I'm talking about is what is essentially a global network of, well, I don't do religion, but I really can't think of any other word other than satanic. But it is a global network of people, everyday people in normal societies, who are involved in what can only be described as satanic ritual abuse of children. And this is going on in all Western countries on quite literally an industrial scale. And this is a topic that people just don't seem to want to talk about. They don't seem to want to face, but it needs to be faced because we are talking about quite literally thousands upon thousands of children that are being subject to the most horrific types of abuse and tortures and stuff straight out of horror movies. And it's going on behind the scenes in all Western countries today. We saw instances like Hampstead Heath in England, where children are indoctrinated into this type of lifestyle through school, and whole families are indoctrinated into this, folks, from a very, very early age. Children in babies and as young as 2 and 3 are participating in these rituals, and they're getting indoctrinated into this lifestyle. They've also worked very hard to indoctrinate acceptance of this lifestyle into the minds of everyday people. This has been done mainly through the pop industry and the music industry. If you get any music clip, folks, get any music clip these days and turn the sound down. Turn on MTV and turn the sound down and just watch the clip. And basically what you're watching is soft porn. I mean, the Emmy Awards or the Music Awards that were on TV the other night was virtually a soft porn show on stage. That's really what it was. And they do this to indoctrinate this type of sexual image into the minds of the children, because this is the type of stuff that they get up to. But what we have here, folks, is essentially a global network of pedophiles that are trafficking children all around the world. Many come from surrogate mothers in Asian countries, the Philippines, Thailand, stuff like this, that are funneled out to foster homes that are all set up for this very purpose. And this is going on all around the world. And you're not going to get any of these people ever stand up and call out things like 9/11. You're not going to get any of these people ever standing up and calling out things like government corruption, because the same people are all involved. The priests and the government, they come to these meetings and do these things as well. And you'll find that most of the people on television are all involved in these circles. You don't see celebrities and all of these people sort of hanging out in normal everyday crowds, you notice. You don't ever see them really down the shop. I mean, you may run into them now and then, but you never see them out at a local restaurant. You never see them doing things that normal people do. What do these people do in their spare time? They all go and hang out together in these special locations where they get up to these nefarious activities. And this is basically a shadow society that exists behind normal society. There is evidence of major exports of children and imports of children going on in most Western countries. As I said, these are funneled out to foster homes, and then a lot of these children end up being used in rituals. And when you really realize the depth and scope of this, and the pure evil and pure psychopathy in the minds of these people, and not only that, but the fact that people who would otherwise or would have otherwise been normal people have been trained into acceptance of this type of lifestyle since birth, then you really begin to see what we are up against. Of course, all of these people like to remain hidden, and so we have always had every opportunity to be able to call this system out and use the legal system against itself. Because that will wake up a lot of people, that will wake up a lot of sleeping masses. But The thought of having a global revolution, I just can't see it happening because of the amount of people that are involved in what are essentially very, very bad activities, who all want the status quo to remain the same. Then, of course, you interject into that little mixed pot a group of other people who are very deprived and very downtrodden, who have had a completely different life, who will now work to quell any type of unity that may have been forming. And this, of course, has been done by introducing this massive amount of so-called refugees into Europe, which has really been about destabilizing Europe and undermining the culture of Europe, and also diluting any response to the system. Because now everybody's fighting amongst themselves, everybody's worried about this shadowy terrorist threat that could be anybody lurking around any corner. And really, when you look at it, folks, and you look at how these events are set up, and you look at these crisis actors, and you look at what we're told on television, how people can ring up and ask the most poignant questions to the news reporters just brush them off and nothing ever comes of it. And they're laughing at us. They're just laughing at the whole thing. This is why the crisis actors and the people who stage these events are just laughing on television, because they know they are playing the world like a fiddle. They've sold an entirely false reality to the people of the world, the sleeping masses. They've just treated them like their flock of sheep, and they've just fed them a completely fictional reality, and everybody has bought into it. And meanwhile, these people sit behind the scenes, making the whole script up as they go along, harvesting all the children that they harvest along the way, and setting the world up for a major harvest of humanity via locking the system down the way they are. And as it's been just demonstrated in Paris, the police are getting more and more brutal now. They're getting openly brutal about it. They're actually going to these events openly looking to cause trouble. We had an event here in Byron Bay a few weeks ago. There was some people just dancing in the park, in Byron Bay Park, as they do in Byron Bay Park. A group of hippies standing around just having a good time, singing songs and dancing. A group of police came up and surrounded them and told them they had to move on. One of the girls just looked at the police and said, meow. And he looked at her and said, move on. And she said, meow, and started walking away. And because she said that a second time, he grabbed her quite brutally and tried to manhandle her and tried to arrest her for giving lip to a police officer. So they're just looking for a reason to harass people and to bring people into the legal system, have them charged with something, just to make people's lives difficult and let them know that things are different now, that they are now living under an authoritarian regime. And they're going to go for the gentle people first. They'll be pulling people up on the side of the road, and they won't be the friendly police officers anymore. They'll be harassing you to the point that you actually become a little bit indignant about it, and then as soon as you do, they will arrest you for talking back to a police officer. This is the sort of laws that they're bringing in Australia here, and I'm sure they will soon be bringing them in everywhere else if they haven't done so already. See, once they've identified all the dissidents, once they've labelled anybody who speaks out against government as an extremist, then they can start harassing people on the side of the road, and they'll start with the gentle people first, and then of course anybody who speaks back must not be respectful of government, and so therefore may possibly be an extremist, which instantly makes you a suspect and gives them a reason to not only harass you, but also to arrest you, take you back for questioning, and go through every single aspect of your life. And just make sure you've never missed out on dotting any I's or crossing any T's anywhere. And of course, when they do this, they can go back through all of your records for 7 years through the new metadata laws. They can check up on every single phone conversation you've ever had, every text you've ever sent, every email you've ever sent or received, and every transaction you have ever performed, everywhere you've traveled. They can look up on every aspect of everybody's lives, even everything you've bought at the supermarket if they want to, if you've been shopping with a credit card. They can now do this to everybody because of the tracking laws and the way everything's gone digital. All they need is an excuse to be able to go through your life. And they will do this by simply harassing people on the side of the road for no reason and bringing them back to the station for questioning simply because they acted a little out of line. And this is the future that is unfolding right before us now, folks. This is a future that myself and many others have been calling out and warning people about for many, many years now. And here it is now right on our doorstep. But the thing is, we still can heal this situation. There is a chance we can get through this. Of course, it's a slim chance, but there is a chance that we can still get through it. You know, the world has not been lost yet, but it's well on the way to being locked down. The problem is the sleeping masses, attempting to wake up the sleeping masses. And there's been so many division plays, and there's been so many mechanisms that have been put in place to discredit independent media. There's been so many plays that we've been subject to in the last 12 months to 18 months. It's just been phenomenal, the amount of division that's been interjected into the independent media. But I still do believe there is a chance that we can still bring some light to this situation. It isn't over until the fat lady sings, folks, and things really are becoming obvious to people. I mean, really, you'd have to be a complete fool to think that what we're seeing in the world today is normal. You know, we've got World War III on our doorstep, which is not going to be what people think it is. It's not going to be this major nuclear meltdown that everybody is fearful of. I don't believe that there will ever be nuclear war, but we are certainly seeing an escalation in global conflict. But I do believe that there is a way out. I really do believe that we can still heal this situation if people open up their hearts and get involved. But you've got to open your hearts, folks. You really do. You've got to open your hearts to the people around you and realize that we are all fighting the same battle and that we are all in this together. If we can do that, we've still got a chance, folks. We've got to identify what the problem is. We've got to realize that there is this shadow society that exists outside of our own society. And we've got to formulate a response to deal with this situation. And of course, the first thing it's going to take is sharing information with people and getting the word out that now is the time for people to stand up and be counted. I mean, sure, folks, there is this shadow society that exists within our own society, but there is still a lot more of us, and there is still a lot more good, decent, and honest people in the world than there are of them. It's just that the unfortunate part of the moment is that, for the most part, they make all the laws and they have all the weapons. But look, I think we've reached break time here, folks, so I have to leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So yes, look, when you begin to identify this shadow network of what is essentially child abusers that exist within our society and realize how all-pervasive this is, you begin to see where all these crisis actors come from. You begin to see why the entertainment industry is the way it is, why the pop industry is the way it is, why the news reporters say and do the things they do. When you see the enormous bloodlust that these people have, I mean, really what they get up to is pure evil, folks. And when you begin to understand this, you see why people like David Cameron would be calling for bombing Syria in order to keep the UK safe, which is completely and utterly ridiculous. Bombing children in Syria is not going to keep children in the United Kingdom safe, but they don't do it to keep anybody safe. They do it because of the enormous bloodlust that these people have. Their goal really is to watch the world burn and to lock what humanity is left into a slavery system to be used as playthings for those who believe they have the right to do these things to the rest of the world. And all the while, these people who have maneuvered themselves into positions of power in all of our countries have been playing the world like a fiddle. Now, when television was introduced to societies, we saw the downfall of civilization begin, the downfall of freedom begin, really with the invention of the printing press, and was further consolidated with the invention of television. Television has been the most all-pervasive mind control tool ever invented, and it has done an absolutely amazing job of keeping people locked into a completely and utterly false reality. You know, it's amazing how people can sit at home and watch this little tube that tells them what's going on in the world, and because the little tube says they have to do it, they give up their rights and they allow themselves to be locked down into a slavery system. I mean, you go and look outside, go and walk around outside, go meet your neighbours, you're not seeing any of the trouble that the television is telling you is always there. All of the violence we see, all the protests, is always started by the police, but you've got to ask yourself, what are the people protesting for? There must be a reason for them to be protesting. What is it about? Maybe you should look at some of these issues and see what the people are speaking up about. And maybe you should protest too, but in the right way, by removing support from the system, removing your tax dollars from the system. You know, it might be bad if one person does this, you may get in trouble, but if the whole society does it, if the whole society just stops and says no more, then the system has no choice. It can't force people to go to work. It can't force people to come out of their houses. If the whole world just refuses to comply any more with what is going on, then the system crumbles. And the question has to be asked, what is it going to take for people to do this? How bad does it have to get before people are willing to step away? And we've seen what protesting does. Like I said, there's no point marching down the street and saying, we won't do this anymore. The police just surround you, and they're armored police with shields and batons and tasers and deadly weapons all over them, and they're all sociopaths. And they don't care. They'll just corral you, they'll beat you, and they'll make an example of you so others don't do it. But if all the community respects each other, and they all simply stay home and refuse to comply with this system, and they bring the machine to a grinding halt, then the system has no choice but to comply with the wishes of the people from that point. I mean, it's got to start somewhere, folks, and it's got to begin with solidarity, and a national or an international day of non-compliance is a day that everybody can participate in by basically not participating. All you have to do is nothing. That's all you have to do for the day is stay home. That sort of a thing would make a difference. It would make a stand. It would allow the controlling hand to realize that we've had enough and we're not going to take it. But we have to do something, folks, because otherwise things are going to get very, very ugly. They are already getting ugly, and we really desperately need to change the direction that we're going. And it's only going to come from unity. I really hope now that people can see the need for unity, that people can see the need for them to put down their stuff with each other, for them to put down their rabbit holes. Please, for the moment, put down your rabbit hole and pay attention to matters of state. I've been asking for this for 8 years, and my voice has been getting quite desperate in the last 3 or 4, because I can see what's coming. And now it's here. It's really time for the people to stand up and be counted. We've got to fix this situation, folks. And it has to start with unity. I'm actually leaving tomorrow for a meeting in Bali with Ken O'Keefe. I'm actually going to meet with Sasha Stone as well. I've never met Sasha. I was on a panel with him once. I've heard some good reports about Sasha. I've heard some bad reports about Sasha. I like to leave things until I meet people so I can make my own mind up. So I'm going to take the opportunity to do that while I'm in Bali. And it's really wonderful that actually someone has paid this trip for me and asked me to come and participate in this little venture, which is basically 9 days of filming with myself and Ken O'Keefe and a couple of other people, including Sasha Stone and Samantha Backman in Bali. So we'll see what comes of that. Yeah, I think everybody's realizing that the situation is getting desperate and we need some sort of unity in this movement. We need the independent media to come together, and we need the fan bases of the independent media to come together. And we need to formulate a coordinated response to what is coming down. And so that's the sort of things we're going to be discussing while I'm over there for the next week. That's why I won't be able to do any shows for the next couple of weeks, because I'm going to be away for the next 9 days. And I don't know what's going to come out of this little venture. But hopefully we're going to be coming away with some sort of a plan to help create a secure future. Lord knows we certainly don't have one now. The interesting thing about this system, isn't it, is that everything it tells us is backwards. It tells us it's taking away our liberties to ensure our security, but of course, when you remove someone's liberties, you guarantee that they are no longer secure. And it's all backwards. Everything they say is backwards. It's like what Israel does, folks. I hate to go on about Israel, but everything Israel tells us is backwards as well. The situation we see there is one completely upside down, where those that we believe are the terrorists are actually subject to routine terrorism every day by those who claim they are the victims. And look, for years and years, I've been saying to people that if we don't pay attention to what's going on in that area, then the way of Palestine will be the way of the world. And now when we see the totalitarian system that exists in Palestine, in the West Bank and in Gaza, we see the systems that have been put in place for warehousing and surplusing human beings. And we now see these exact same totalitarian systems appearing in France, appearing all around Western countries. This is exactly the same thing, folks, and the world is now beginning to turn into what we see in Palestine. Recently, there was a lobbyist who went on television and said that he would like to see the whole Middle East like Israel. And what we see in Israel is a completely totalitarian system, And that is what they're putting in place across the Middle East, and that is what they are putting in place in all Western countries. Because everything they tell us is backwards, folks. It's always backwards, and everything the media tells you is backwards. You know, the mainstream media and the government are not your friends. They've sold a lie to the whole world. You know, you think about it, folks, the media, these people sit there in a little room with a nice backdrop behind them, and they put this message out onto this little screen. And because everybody's got a screen in their homes, it looks like it's this big organization, this all-knowing, all-pervasive organization, but it's not. It's just a bunch of people sitting in a little room, reading off a script, telling you what reality is, when in actual fact, reality is completely and utterly the opposite of what they're saying. It's like this whole Muslim menace across the Middle East, which is not a Muslim menace. It's all been created by the West. The whole war on terror is not a war on terror. It's a war of terror being perpetrated against innocent civilians under the pretext of getting revenge upon these people for a terrorist act that the very people who are waging the war carried out themselves. I mean, all of this that we see in the world today is all riding on the back of 9/11, folks. And that may seem like old news to people, but the 9/11 attack is not old news. It will never be old news because the entire global situation we see today is riding on the back of that event. And that event was a false flag. And when you really put that into perspective, then you really begin to see what we're facing here. There's actually a great new movie that's been released about 9/11. I can't remember the name of the filmmaker offhand, but I've got it on the website. If you go down to the recommended viewing on my website, thecrowhouse.com, there's a film called Incontrovertible. And it's a wonderful portrayal of what actually happened on 9/11. It's a great film to show police officers and firefighters and government officials and people who work within mainstream political circles. If you can get this information to them, maybe those people who are not already lost will actually see the light, and we might get some people helping to make a difference from within. Because if we call out 9/11, folks, and we call out the whole war on terror, we expose the whole criminal system for what it is. Again, you're not going to get everybody doing it, because there are so many elements within society and within the media that will not ever allow the information to come out. But we have the strength of numbers, and if we refuse to comply with this system anymore until this information is addressed, then I think we can make a difference. It's all about the dissemination of information, folks, but it's got to be the right information. It's got to be done in the right way, in a sensible way, in a non-conspiratorial way. And not with all the noise that people put around it. You know, there's so much noise surrounding real information in the independent media, and that has been one of the biggest problems that we've faced. But of course, that's how COINTEL works, folks. You interject noise, you put conspiracy theories everywhere, and theories within theories, and you make everything unbelievable and so convoluted that the truth gets lost in a sea of noise. I said back in my first film in 2008 that the best way to hide a real conspiracy is to create conspiracy culture around it so that nobody ever knows what the real truth is. And that's what's been done. But the real truth, folks, is that we're in a slavery system. It's being locked down right now. And the bigger truth is that we have the power to change it if we just choose to do so. But it's a fearful choice. It's a fearful choice for many people. I can understand that. It's a fearful choice. You know, no one wants to get hurt, no one wants any violence, and violence can happen because the system really doesn't care how many people it hurts. And just look at the 9/11 attacks, just look at the way they treat people in protest, just look at what the police do to people. But still, we have to do something, folks. We can't just sit idly by and complain about this while it gets locked down around us. And I really believe that if we have a strong united voice, then we can make a difference. You know, they can't ignore it forever, but they can if all we do is protest. But if our strong united voice is simply millions upon millions of people refusing to go along with things anymore, just refusing to comply, then that will make a difference because the system only functions because we participate in it. You know, we are the ones who turn the wheels of the mechanism, and we can choose not to do so anytime we want. The big thing that prevents people from doing that is that they're afraid to do so because they're scared that no one else will do it with them. They're scared that if they make a stand themselves, they'll get picked off. And this is true in many cases. If you do it on your own, you probably will. But if the whole world does it, or a large part of the world does it, I mean, you wouldn't even need everybody to do it. And as I said earlier, you're not going to get everybody to do it because there's too many people who want the status quo to remain the same. But if you have a reasonably sized section of mankind simply stand up and say no and refuse to comply, then it will make a difference. And the thing is, it will shut the system down. It'll bring it to a grinding halt because the system only functions because we participate in it. So we need to stop participating in it. We need to just make a stand that way. Now, you can't have people going out and protesting and marching on the street and getting subject to the type of violence that we're seeing getting meted out to these people. It's really painful watching this happen, you know, seeing people being so brutalized on the street by police officers who are there to protect them. They're there to serve and protect the people. But police officers don't do that anymore. They're just there to enforce legislation, regardless of how corrupt it is. And because they do this, folks, I mean, you look at this, you look at the actions of these cops, and you've got to go, well, what do they do to these people? Why are the police acting this way? And you realize that there is this secret agenda behind all of this. There is a group of very bad people who do very bad things. But there's also certain drugs that are out there that they're feeding people as well. There's a drug that has been found that is getting fed to members of ISIS that's being manufactured on a large scale. And I wouldn't be surprised if they feed this to police officers as well. There's actually a drug that's going across the Middle East at the moment called Captagon, and it's been dubbed the jihadist drug, and it's been flooding the Middle East, and this is what is basically fueling all of these so-called ISIS warriors. This is an amphetamine, and it's kind of like cocaine or speed or something like that, and the reports are is that it just basically stops you feeling anything, makes you numb, and basically makes you a wonderful machine for killing people, because you just don't care when you're on this drug. You're wide awake all the time. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if it were things such as Captagon which were bringing about the type of behavior we're seeing in modern day police, because these individuals just don't seem to feel anything for normal people. It's really bizarre. They just don't seem to act like normal human beings at all. And that is a real worry. That's a real concern. And that's the problem that we're facing. And unfortunately, when we try to get to the politicians, this is the wall that we have to get through, is the police. But that's because we protest. It's because we're marching down the street. We're walking down the street shaking our fists at the politicians. But really, they just send this wall of sociopaths out to deal with it. In order to get to the politicians, we've got to get to them through a mechanism that they understand, and that is to remove support from their system. Stop going along with what they say. And I'm not suggesting that people go out and break laws and things. I'm simply saying don't comply anymore. Simply stop participating in the system and spread the words with your friends. Say, look, you know, this is getting out of hand. The police are getting out of hand. This war in Syria is getting out of hand. Everything governments are doing is getting out of hand. We need to remove our support from this government, because it's only by us removing our support for the government that things are going to change. I mean, like I said, folks, there were legal mechanisms that could have worked for us. Gaza Strip could have worked for us. All of the people that went down the Freeman rabbit hole, all the Lose the Name people, all of these people, I was saying to them for the last year or 2 years that this will work if you apply yourself to the system. The problem with these people is they jumped into a bubble of narcissism and thought, no, no, I can just step outside the system. I can lose the name and walk away and I'll be safe. But it doesn't work that way. You've actually got to use the information that you've got to expose the system for what it is to the sleeping masses around you. And it's people's failure to apply the knowledge that they've got to the system that has now led to this current situation. So now we need to formulate a new plan. We need to find something that's going to work. And really, the only thing that I can think of that will work is the very first idea I had back in 2008, and that is to remove all support for the system. Complete and absolute non-compliance. And again, you don't need to be breaking any laws to be indulging in non-compliance. All you have to do is stay home. All you have to do is nothing. Just don't participate. Don't spend any money. Don't go out. Just don't participate in this society for a day. See if you can organize a day in your country. And let's see if we can organize a global day. And if one global day doesn't work, then we'll organise a global 2 days, and then a global 3 days, and then a global week. And then we will just stop until the system stops around us. Because if we pull our support from this system, then it will crumble. It has no choice, because we are the ones who are holding it up. That's really the truth of the matter, folks. And the sooner people realize this, the better, because that's the way out. It really is, you know. It simply can't function if we don't allow it to function. And we can refuse to allow it to function by simply removing our support from it. It's like someone once said in the 60s, what if they threw a war and nobody came? That's the thing, folks. We can complain about soldiers shooting people all we want, but it's the soldiers who pull the trigger. It's the soldiers who go to the war and participate, simply because they believe in authority. But that's the problem, you know. If people didn't join the army, there wouldn't be any wars. So we should just not join these organizations. Of course, they make it very difficult not to, especially in places like the United States, because it's about the only decent job you can get. And then, of course, you've got rogue states such as Israel, where it's mandatory to join the army and to go and murder Palestinians before you're given proper citizenship. So that's a wonderful state of affairs. So it's very difficult in regard to military situations. People have already given their authority away. But in civilian situations, as far as the system goes, as far as the civilian side of things go, it's all held up by us. It's all held up by our choice to get up and go to work every day. And what we should do is just choose not to one day, just for the sake of the world. And in fact, we should do it for the sake of our children. You know, we all knew this day was coming, folks. There's a time in everybody's life when it comes, a time when they have to make a stand, a time when they're given a choice between two paths. And that's where we are now. We are at a crossroads. Mankind is quite literally walking on a knife edge. I've been saying this for a while, but now we're reaching the very tip of the knife, and we have a choice to make. You know, is mankind going to stand for what is good? Are we going to stand for what is decent? Are we going to rediscover ourselves and claim our true power and our true divinity? Or are we simply going to allow ourselves to be led like lambs to slaughter because we're in fear of facing all of those things? Because really that's what it's about. It's fear of facing our own divinity. It's our fear of death as well. You know, a fear of death is very much instilled into us since birth, and yet death is the only part of life that is inevitable. You should not go through life in fear of death. You really shouldn't. And if your death can count for something, well, it's the only part of your life that's guaranteed to happen anyway, so why not make it count for something? And I don't want to die. Nobody wants to die. But if making a stand and leaving this world at my age of 58 years old will create a better future for my son, then I would be prepared to do that. And I can't back down to this system. I really can't, not through any fear of death. Death is inevitable, and I would rather die on my feet than live on my knees. This has always been the way I've lived my life. I will not bow to authority, especially when that authority is corrupt and can be seen to be openly corrupt and causing the type of damage that it is causing around the world today. I mean, every problem that we face on this planet can be traced to legislation written by politicians. Every war, every problem, every piece of environmental degradation, every single issue that we face as a species can be traced to legislation that was put in place by rulers, people who believe they have the authority over others. This is what has led to the situation that we now find ourselves in, and unfortunately we are very much to blame. You know, it's our negligence that has created this situation. Of course, we've been trained to be that way. You can't blame people altogether, because people have been fed a false version of reality. They have been removed of their life skills, and they have been taught that up is down and black is white and everything is backwards. So you can't really blame people for what they do, and you can't really blame people for what they've done that has led to this situation. But now that it's all in everybody's face, now that we can see what's been going on behind the scenes all along, now that even people in the mainstream are beginning to realize that the so-called conspiracy theorists have been right all along, now it comes down to a time where you actually do know, and so you do have a choice to make a difference. And the scary part is that it becomes apparent in most people's minds that now they have this information, if they don't act, then they are very much to blame. You know, knowledge is a dangerous thing because with knowledge comes responsibility. And people who have the knowledge of what is going on in the world do have a responsibility for themselves, for their children, and for all generations that are to follow us, and to every brother and sister that is now alive in the world that is suffering due to our inaction. We have a responsibility to all of these people once we have the knowledge. And if we fail to act upon this knowledge, then we become complicit in the slaughter of these people. We become complicit in the war crimes that are being carried out. We become complicit in the future that we are allowing to be created simply due to having knowledge and failing to act upon it. And that is the unfortunate situation that mankind finds themselves in today. Many people can see the darkness, they can see the storm clouds gathering, they know how to open the umbrella, but they're just too afraid to do so. But folks, what is coming is no regular storm. What is coming is a torrent, a deluge of unprecedented proportions. And if people fail to act, then their fear is going to be multiplied 1,000 times over when the system actually reaches out and touches them. And it will reach out and touch every man, woman, and child on this earth if people fail to act. So the time for talk is over, folks, unless you're talking about sharing information with people. But all the knowledge that you've got and all the information that has been shared with you and all the knowledge we've managed to gather all over all these years, now is the time to put it to use. And if you don't put it to use, then all of that research and all of that time gathering that information has all been for nothing, because it was never going to work. It was never going to amount to anything unless you're prepared to use it. And now's the time for you to do so. But look, we're getting very close to the end of the show here, folks, so I better leave it here for now before I go off on another rant. There is so much more I'd like to talk to you about. There's been so much happening in the world while I've had this time off. The last couple of months have just been like a roller coaster ride. I'm sure everybody's seen it. Thank you for bearing with me while I had this time off the show for the last couple of months. I've had an awful lot on, and it's been a very interesting ride, actually, in the last couple of months. And for all of those people out there who may have heard that I was attacked on October 24th after speaking at the Freedom Summits the day before, I'd just like you to know that I'm all good. I suffered a couple of cracked ribs, but I'm coming good. These things take time to heal, but it's okay. I've still got a little bit of trauma to my shoulder, which is kind of healing. It's a little slow, but it's coming along. But on the whole, I'm good. I am not damaged. There was a meme that was circulating of me on Facebook, which showed me in a hospital bed connected up to tubes and life support, this was not a real picture, folks. I don't know who made it, but it was not a real picture. I was never in that bad a condition. I just had a few bruises and a couple of cracked ribs and a sore shoulder. So it wasn't anything life-threatening. So thank you very much for all of the kind emails and all the support everybody showed me through what was a pretty rough time. But I'm fine, I'm coming good, and it'll take a lot more than that to silence me, folks. I can guarantee you of that. But anyway, thank you for all of the kind words and support that everybody showed me. But look, that is it for me now, folks. I'm completely out of time, so I am going to have to go. I'm not going to be back on the air regularly for the moment. I've got too much I have to get done. But I will try to get some shows done in amongst it all. I might be able to get another one out in 2 or 3 weeks. But look, I am going to have to go now, and I will bring you a report about what occurred in Bali after the meeting with Ken O'Keefe and Sasha Stone that I'm leaving for tomorrow, and you will definitely hear from me again in 2 or 3 weeks. So I'll look forward to speaking to you again then. Please take very good care until then, my friends. The storm is coming, but we can weather it if we're sensible about it. So look after yourselves and stay safe, and I'll speak to you again soon. In Lakesh.